Hey, it's Gabe. I want to recommend a podcast I think you'll enjoy called What Could Go Right. On What Could Go Right, the hosts, Progress Network founder Zachary Carabel and executive director Emma Varva Lucas, sit down with expert guests to discuss the world's most pressing issues. They look back at how far society has come and look forward to what it will take to achieve a brighter future. If you're looking for a weekly dose of optimistic ideas from smart people, listen to What Could Go Right wherever you get your podcasts.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Before AI can help your business predict demand, accelerate growth, inform decisions, automate tasks, reveal insights, generate content, you have to trust it. Introducing WatsonX Governance, helping you govern any AI as data, models, and policies change so you can scale it responsibly. Let's create AI that begins with trust with WatsonX Governance. Learn more at ibm.com/governance. IBM, let's create.
This Day in History class is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hello and welcome to This Day in History class, a show for those interested in the big and small moments of history. I'm Gabe Lousier, and in this episode, we're talking about a world-changing invention called the penny black, a sticky slip of paper that helped define the postal system as we know it. The day was May 1st, 1840. The introduction of the penny black postage stamp revolutionized the British postal system. Featuring a white profile portrait of Queen Victoria set against a black patterned background, the adhesive stamp introduced a new flat rate form of postage. It allowed British citizens to send a letter weighing up to half an ounce anywhere in the country for the cost of just one penny. This innovation made it easier than ever for people to correspond, exchange ideas, and share news with one another. It was widely embraced by the British public, and in the first year of its availability, roughly 80 million penny blacks were sold. Prior to the creation of the prepaid postage stamp, the cost of sending a letter in England varied widely. Each letter was weighed individually and priced according to its weight and the distance it had to travel. This meant that a single letter could sometimes cost more than a day's wages, and in those days, it was the recipient, not the sender, who had to pay the postage. This arrangement trained working-class families to dread getting mail, as it always arrived with an unexpected and often excessive bill. The recipient's only options were to pay up or refuse delivery. Many people chose the latter, and in those cases, the whole thing was a wasted effort, both for the sender and for the postman. This fatal flaw in the Royal Mail's design led to heavy annual losses for the British government. But it wasn't until the 1830s, roughly 200 years after the service was established, that a progressive reformer named Rowland Hill worked out a solution. In his roles as an educator and school administrator, Hill observed a drastic rise in literacy during the Industrial Revolution. He theorized, quite correctly, that this would lead to more people writing letters in the coming years. But in order to facilitate that increase in mail volume, he knew that the problem of postage rates would have to be corrected. Hill's solution was to make the sender responsible for the delivery fee so that people would stop refusing mail and the post office would stop losing money. And to avoid discouraging people from sending letters, he also proposed that a uniform national rate be established, one that everyone could afford, a single penny for any letter weighing a half ounce or less. Hill sent an essay outlining his ideas to the General Post Office, but they never got back to him. So in 1837, he self-published his essay as a pamphlet titled Post Office Reform, Its Importance and Practicability. Hill's proposals gained traction with the public, and soon after, he was invited to meet with the Postmaster General to discuss how they might be implemented. By the end of that meeting, the two men had settled on the defining feature of the revamped postage system, a small adhesive label that could be applied to envelopes to indicate payment. Roland Hill described this new invention as, quote, a bit of paper just large enough to bear the stamp and covered at the back with a glutinous wash so that the bringer might attach it to the letter. As for where a licked stamp should go, they decided to position it on the upper right corner of the envelope. Why? Because the vast majority of people are right-handed, including postal workers, and it was thought this would expedite the process of postmarking and canceling stamps. Hill's idea for a postage stamp earned the support of the Postmaster General, but not everyone in the government believed the system was feasible. It took another 2 years of advocating to convince Parliament to give it a chance, but in 1839, Hill finally got the go-ahead. He held a contest that year to determine the stamp's design, and after reviewing 2,600 entries, he selected a profile of the newly crowned Queen Victoria. The original image was the work of famed artist and engraver William Wyon, who had produced several coin and metal portraits of Victoria during her time as a young princess. The diademed portrait used on the penny black belonged to that series, and it first appeared on a medal commemorating the Queen's first visit to London in 1837, the same year she assumed the throne. Hill worked with artist Henry Corbould to refine the portrait and develop the stamp's elegant background pattern. Then, engravers George Rushall and Charles and Frederick Heath prepared the final design for printing. The first penny black stamps, named for their color and cost, were issued for sale on May 1, 1840, even though they weren't valid to use until May the 6th. The unperforated adhesive stamps were printed in sheets of 240 and had to be individually cut by hand. Nonetheless, the penny black proved wildly popular. In fact, the mail volume in Britain more than doubled in the first year of issue, from 82 million pieces of mail in 1839 to 169 million pieces in 1840. The stamp's design was modified slightly over time, and the first change was to its color. The post office quickly realized that the ink of a cancellation mark was hard to see on a black stamp, so in 1841, the penny black became the penny red. One thing that remained consistent, though, was the Queen's portrait. The same youthful image of her as a teenage princess continued to adorn the stamps for the remaining 61 years of her reign. England's introduction of affordable, uniform postage established a model for other countries to follow, and over the next few decades, a postal revolution took place all across the globe. And while everyone else has benefited from Great Britain's bright idea, there is still at least one advantage to having been the first. The Universal Postal Union now requires all nations to include their country's name on any postage stamps they issue, except for the United Kingdom. That omission is a respectful nod to the fact that, unless otherwise noted, all stamps are British by birth. I'm Gabe Lousier, and hopefully, you now know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. If you'd like to keep up with the show, you can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at TDIHCShow. And if you have any comments or suggestions, feel free to send them my way by writing to thisday@iheartmedia.com. Thanks to Casby Bias for producing the show, and thanks to you for listening. I'll see you back here again tomorrow for another day in history class.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.